Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 4:08. I'm Jordana Green. Paul Douglas is in his basement. I'm in my bedroom. David is at the helm at the station. Thank you for spending some time with us on what is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. The top story today, of course, is the no charges in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor. One charge was filed for discharge of a weapon that went into a neighbor's apartment. We are going to talk more at length with Rachel Palouse. She is a professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law. She's also a former U.S. attorney for Minnesota. So we are going to have a much longer conversation about what happened today at 5:18. But right now, we're going to talk about zombie storms, because that's a real thing. I'm not talking about like a Sharknado. I'm not talking about stuff that only happens in the movie. I called Paul this morning and I said, what the heck is this? And he goes, oh yeah, the zombie storm. I said, that's a thing? I thought it was a joke. So Paul, what the heck is a zombie storm?
It's fake news.
Help us. I mean, it's 2020, so like, I'm not surprised if zombies would fall out of the sky and eat our brains. I mean, is that what's going to happen?
I did not have zombie storms on my 2020 apocalypse bingo card. one of the few things I didn't have on my bingo card. But look, this was a storm. It was Paulette, Hurricane Paulette. It hit Bermuda, caused quite a bit of damage back in early September, and then it weakened, as all hurricanes do as they pass over cooler ocean water. Mm-hmm. They lose their strength, they fizzle. It went all the way across the North Atlantic, and then it kind of dipped southward, and off the coast of Portugal, it passed what the soggy dregs, the remains, the swirl, no longer a tropical anything, passed over warmer water. It regenerated, and like a zombie, it came back to life. And it became, for a time, yesterday, Tropical Storm Paulette for the second time. I think I've seen that happen maybe one other time in my career. It's rare, but it does happen from time to time. A recycled tropical system, yeah. Kind of weird. But now it's fizzled, and we don't have to worry about Paulette or any storms with names here.
So it's not like we have to get wooden stakes or anything to kill zombies and nothing's coming to eat our brains?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I think you should absolutely It's 2020.
Because it wouldn't surprise me. It is 2020.
We've seen all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, look, we're up to Tropical Storm Beta, which caused all kinds of flooding in the Houston area. And again, the next storm up would be, let me think, if only somebody knew the Greek alphabet.
Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi, Omicron, Pi, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Epsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. What were you after?
Hey,
I'm sorry, what were you up to? Show off
my
math skills.
I want to hit a kegger with you, Jordana.
That was what my sorority was good for. I learned the, among other things, I learned the Greek alphabet.
Gamma. And your favorite?
Gamma is next.
Gamma is the next one. Okay. I'm going to come to
okay,
you.
Okay, you keep talking about corn prices, because I'm going to Google how to survive the zombie apocalypse and then come back and give our listeners some real information that they're going to need when the zombies start coming out of Paulette.
At this point, nothing would surprise me. You know, if aliens landed, I would not be surprised. Hopefully they're friendly aliens, but I don't pretend to know the answer to that. By the way, Speaking of a crazy year, an asteroid the size of an RV is going to come very close to the Earth this Thursday. And thank you, Dave, for passing this nugget along. It's only going to pass 16,700 miles away from the Earth. For comparison, the moon is about 240,000 miles away. So that is that's a close call, but again, not expected to hit the Earth. I'm happy about that. Finally, a little bit of good news for farmers. Things are looking up. Prices are up for corn and beans. More demand from China. And sadly, misfortune just to our south in Iowa. They had that derecho back on August the 10th, winds gusting up to 140, which I've never seen in a derecho, straight line winds, 140 near Cedar Rapids. And then they had a drought on top of that. So corn and bean prices are up by about a fifth since early August. Also, the hog rally has been even more pronounced. So a little bit of good news. And by the way, Jor, this will make you either gag or giggle. On this date, by the way, it's 84 out there. And you may have a rare where am I living moment when you hear this. Mm-hmm. On this date in 1985, half an inch of snow fell in the Twin Cities.
Wow.
So we can go from accumulating snow, or it can be in the mid-80s. Man, that's range.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, how to survive the zombie apocalypse. We can talk about it a little later, but you're going to need water, food, non-perishable. You're going to need medication, a first aid kit, although it won't help you if you get infected by the zombie. Thank you for the sound effects. Soap, towels, hand sanitizer.
That's my stomach.
And utility supplies, a battery, a knife, can opener, torches, and matches.
Sure.
Apparently, you can kill a zombie with a gun or an axe or a machete or things like that. I didn't think they could be killed, but apparently those are just effective in fighting them off and slowing them down, because you're all supposed to have access to a gas station and a car so you can hide somewhere. I don't know that much about zombies, but anybody who does should probably call in.
Hey, you're a little less Alex Jones in your media diet, please. Please?
I don't know that much. I'm going to have to learn, because the zombies, they're probably coming.
It's Wednesday. It's 4:19. Beyond that, we don't know much.
That's true.
But let's start with the basics. Who doesn't want a better job? Who doesn't want to make more money? Who doesn't want to, especially during these turbulent times, turn a negative into a positive? And while your resume is important, your experience, what you've done, your skills, one of the things I've learned the hard way over the years is that networking, casting a wide net, is critical. And now more than ever, there is a free, effective, powerful way to do that. Joining us, as she does every Wednesday, is Diane Huth. She is the Accidental Career Coach, and we are so happy to have her on our show. Hey, Diane.
Hey, Paul, Jordana. It's great to be back with you.
You too.
Tell us about LinkedIn. I'm just, the older I get, the more respect I have for LinkedIn, but you have some very interesting statistics.
That's right. Everybody needs to have an active LinkedIn page. And I'm amazed by so many job seekers who don't. In fact, LinkedIn is by far the largest job-seeking site. They have 575 million members around the world, 150 million in the U.S., which is like over half of the total U.S. population has memberships. 260 million people visit LinkedIn once a month. 30 million companies have company profiles on LinkedIn, and they post jobs, 20 million jobs every single month you can find online. Line on LinkedIn, and they're paid jobs. They pay $350 to post each job. They're serious about those jobs, and the important thing is people get jobs from it. 122 million jobs are found every year on LinkedIn. Isn't that exciting?
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot. So what are some tools of the trade for LinkedIn? I mean, I have a LinkedIn profile, but I just made it so people could connect with me professionally. But if you are actively using it for job searches, what are the do's and don'ts that you should put in your profile?
Well, you need to have an active profile. It should match your resume, and it needs to be updated. There are 20 different ways to optimize LinkedIn. Most people never get past the resume feature, but that's where you start. They have an ability to upload a photo. You create a free account, a free profile, and then you upload a photo, and then you basically write a 120-character headline saying what you do, and then a couple paragraphs that talk about you. So you can say, this is what I do for companies and what I could do for you. And these are my credentials. And then you actually build a resume step by step, and it will prompt you to say, what is your education? What's your most recent education before that? And so you actually go in and you build an education profile with your colleges, and then you put the date of graduation. It organizes it for you in reverse chronological order. And so you can build your education sections. When you put in the name of the school, it'll actually find the logo and populate the logo next to the school name. Hmm. And then you do the same thing for jobs. What's your current job? And you put your job title in the year. And then it'll actually come pull up your employer's logo. And you do that for all of your jobs. So that's where you start. But then you can add a bunch of contact information. I'm amazed at most of my clients. They don't have a phone number. And they don't have an email address on their account. If you're looking for a job, you want people to be able to reach you. But you can also link websites. You can add social media pages. You can add your birth date, month, and year, and then people will send you happy birthday messages. And then, you know, you build your online resume like we talked about step by step. You can also add rich media. So you could add a PDF of your resume. You could add an artistic portfolio. You could write like PDFs of articles that are written about you. So you can add more content that most people don't even know about. But there are some other things you can do. And one of them is ask for recommendations. And so it's very, you make sure that you have a little section that asks for recommendations. Then you can ask and give recommendations. And there's a secret number. You need to have 501 connections because there's an algorithm that LinkedIn uses. And one of the things that goes in the algorithm is how many recommendations you have. So you want to have recommendations.
So that's really important. I didn't realize anybody reads those.
Oh, yeah. They tell in the algorithm. And you want recommendations that you have received from people, but you also want to give recommendations to other people. And by the way, that's the easiest place to get a recommendation. You give a recommendation to somebody else, and they're going to say, oh, thank you so much. What can I do for you? Well, you could write me a recommendation. So you want to make sure you have active recommendations. And then you also want skills endorsements. There's a section called skills endorsements, and you can add up to 50 different descriptive characteristics. And then as people are who you know see your page, LinkedIn pops up a little screen that lists four different attributes that are associated with you, and it asks, how would you best describe Jordana? And somebody will click on one of those, and then that will count towards the number of endorsements. And you could want up to 99-plus endorsements. The more endorsements you have, the more vetted your profile is, so the more traffic you're going to get to it, and the more recruiters are going to find you. Because LinkedIn, once you're active on LinkedIn and you have at least 500 connections, you have to have 500 connections, that's the magic number, 501, then they start opening up and showing your profile to recruiters who might be looking for somebody like you.
Wow.
Most people don't know that.
This is news to me. The 501 number is something new. Diane, one of many questions I have. I have a free LinkedIn account. There's a free version. Is there any reason why people should pay to upgrade? I know they have a premium account. Is it worth the money?
It depends on what you want. If you're a recruiter, yes, you'll pay $150 a year, a month to have it. I have a premium account. I pay $69 a month because I build my coaching business on there because they've got a platform called ProFinder, which vets professionals. And then they actually offer my resume writing and coaching services to people who are looking for something like me. So I actually get about 50 requests every day of people who engage with me, who say, I'm looking for a career coach, I'm looking for an interview coach, I'm looking for a resume writer, and that allows me to connect with them and offer my services. So that's worth $69 to me every month, no problem.
Wow.
Diane, you are absolutely full of great suggestions, and we want to share how people can reach you, of course. Diane has a website at dianehuth.com. She also has a workshop and webinar Go. That's on Thursday at 7 p.m. Central at jobsecretswebinar.com. Diane, we want to thank you so much, and we look forward to the next time you come on. Clearly, one segment is not enough for you, so we need to have you on more. Yeah. You have a lot of good info.
Well, I'm planning on being back next Wednesday if you'll have me. So,
absolutely. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, thank you. And her name, it's Diane Huth, H-U-T-H. com. And she has a lot of great information. And that workshop, Thursday, 7 o'clock our time, is free. How to write a better resume. There's an art to writing a resume. Yeah. Less is more. And I'm going to be tuned in for that. That's some great free advice.
You know, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. I don't use it actively because I'm not looking for a job and I'm not looking to hire. But I know people that use it every day, and it really does generate some good leads.
Yeah. No question. No question. Mm-hmm. Jor, when we come back, mom shaming, it's a real thing. I can't believe it, but COVID-19 is bringing out the worst in some people. That story next.
Welcome back. It's 4:35, Jordana and Paul. So a girlfriend came over the other day, and she was just defeated. She just felt bad about everything. And I said, love, what is the matter? She goes, I don't have any friends anymore. And I said, hello. I'm right here in my kitchen with you. I'm your friend. And she goes, okay, fine, except you. And I'm like, what's the problem, honey? Because I know her friends. I am her friend, and she has friends. She joined a group of, like, kids in her school, like, and wanted to get her child in what is called a pod, like a learning pod, where they don't go to school, but they, you know, sort of go to each other's homes every day. You know, maybe one house for a week, another house for a week, or maybe they rotate Tuesday, Thursday, whatever it is, like a learning pod. And my friend at one point expressed some views that could be considered political about wanting or not wanting the kids to go back to the school. And she feels as if she has been shunned by the women in this group. And when I read a pitch by Demi Austin Thomas, who is a parenting expert, about mom shaming, I thought, oh my gosh, my girlfriend is living it. And I mean, I feel it on a certain level also. And I thought, we need to tell everybody about mom shaming. So parenting expert Demi Austin Thomas is joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Demi, welcome to the program.
Hi, hello, and thank you for having me.
You got it. So I imagine that my story about my girlfriend is not new to you.
No, not at all. And certainly, you know, right now, with the climate of what we are all dealing with today, that's uncomfortable for many of us, is, you know, COVID-19, and a lot of moms right now are feeling it. And, you know, this new trend of this word, which has kind of been around for a long time. However, I think it's really peaking its really ugly head recently over the last several years, is mom shaming. And it is a very real thing. Most people go, what is it? I've never heard of it. So for people who may not know what mom shaming is where someone is basically shaming you. They are judging you. They're condemning you for the parenting decisions or parenting views or mothering decisions that you have made. And let's be honest, you know, right now, I just think in general, parenting is hard, okay?
Yeah, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. It really, really is. And I have three amazing kids. And to be honest with you, I literally just dropped my son off less than 3.5 weeks ago at college, made the hardest decision of my life. And I dropped my kid off at school in college and found myself crying in the parking lot. I'm a pretty strong mama. I'm what they call an OG mama. Okay. And so I am not new to this, but I felt the overwhelming pressure. I felt horrible because I thought, well, what are other parents going to think about me? What are other moms going to think about me? Here it is. I'm the parent coach working with families and trying to help direct families and bridging the gap and all this great stuff. But I just dropped my kid off in the middle of a pandemic. And what are people going to say? And so it's very real, and it's happening. And a lot of parents right now, especially moms, are having to make hard and uncomfortable decisions in the best interest of their family and their children. And that's what's happening.
Demi, this is Paul, and you passed on some stats that made me do a double take. Two out of three moms surveyed have felt mom shaming, which is a huge number to me. Two-part question. Do these moms think that they're judging or trying to help? And is this exclusive to females? I mean, is there dad shaming? Hey, you're fixing that faucet wrong. Here's how you hold a chainsaw. I know that sounds sexist, but is this endemic to more women than men that feel the need to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think that, you know, yes, it does happen. We can say parent shaming. It does happen from, you know, with dads, but you typically tend to see it more with moms, you know, women and females. We're just much more catty, you know what I mean, a little bit more opinionated. And especially when it comes to our children and how we're raising our kids. And some people don't, you know, won't agree with you on how you're raising your children. And you're absolutely right. Actually, there was a survey that was conducted back in 2017. About 227 women participated. 80% of these women were not only shamed, but they were shamed by other moms. That's about four out of five women. Four out of five moms. Unbelievable. And it's overwhelming, and it is absolutely real. And we have to do something about it. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't care if you're a new, you know, mom with a newborn baby or a mother who has an adult child. It's happening. And I know for
myself, Demi,
I felt it.
So what can we do? That's the question. What is the proper reaction when you feel mom shamed or you witness it? How do we shut it down respectfully? Because a lot of moms, especially in front of their children, don't want to be confrontational. You know, don't want to mix it up with the relationship. So what do you do?
Well, I think what's important, the first thing that I would tell any mom is that you need to find your mom tribe. Find your tribe. Find the people that support you. Because having a solid, anchored support system is essential. It's needed for your mental wellness. So that's the first thing I would say. The number two thing I would say is knowing your triggers. Knowing your hot zones. People are going to say something that you may not agree with, and they're going to show up in your life at the bus stop, the grocery stores, at the school, at the PTA meetings. You have to know your hot zones is what I call it. And also knowing that it's okay to take in their information because, Paul, you did say something that I thought was interesting. You know, a lot of times we are, you know, we can receive information and some of the information we have to really discern, is this, you know, coming from a good place or is this coming from a very helpful place? You know, are they trying to help me or is this coming from a place where they're just really trying to be nasty? And so, you know, I think that you have to also use good common sense. Like if this is a person who's constantly negative and they always have something to say, that's the person that you probably want to avoid. You just really want to put them on your radar to make sure that you're really protecting your space. And I think it's okay to, you know, take in whatever people are saying, but don't stay there. Don't allow yourself to become a victim of what they're saying. You know what I mean? So it's about processing information. We can take this information. We can, you know, store it, use it. It's good, you know, good information. Or it's, you know what, this is just bad stuff. You got to learn how to filter this information that you're receiving and the views of others. I'd also say that self-care is really important. Take a minute to yourself. You know, find some time throughout the week. Right now, a lot of moms are feeling the weight. They're feeling the pressure. The kids are at home, or maybe the kids are going back to school, and there's a lot of anxiety on both ends. It is so important as moms that we take care of ourselves. And it really starts with us not just getting our nails done, but it's about your mental wellness, your clarity, having clarity of thought, being very clear of your thinking, and just having time not only for you so that you're able to spend more time and pour into your children and your family. So I think that's important. Also, understanding that it's important that you don't want to embrace victim thinking.
Okay. Demi Austin Thomas, some great advice. We sure appreciate your perspective on this when it comes to parenting and the scourge of mom shaming. Wow.
Good stuff. When we get back, it happens. I mean, it happens, you know, so we all have to check ourselves. And we're making decisions for the first time ever in parenting, and we all need to just take a step back and support each other and give each other some grace. When we get back, Maxie's twins take. Oh, my goodness. Did you guys see Nelson Cruz's robe? It was awesome. We'll talk about that him. We'll talk about that and much more next.
And the 0-1 is swinging a liner left field shallow. That ball sinking and down for a base hit. Eddie's around third. He scores. And the Twins walk it off 5-4-10. And the Twins are just a half game back of the White Sox for the top spot in the American League Central.
Well done, Max Kepler, who hit the tying home run in the eighth inning and the game-winning single with two outs in the 10th to give the Twins a 5-4 victory. The Twins take on the Tigers again. 6:40, first pitch right here on your Twin station, CCO Radio. In addition to being an amazing father, an amazing sportscaster, a humanitarian, and also a news reporter when the need arises, Mike Max is also an umpire. Where are you, Mike? What?
Tell you a funny story. Uh-huh. I got a call this morning from a friend, and they said, any chance you could umpire it? We got a fall baseball game tonight, and we don't have an umpire. Any chance you could umpire it? And I said, no, I can't because I do the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, what if we did the 6 o'clock news in an umpire outfit, and I umpired the game? Because now here's the backstory. When I was in college, I helped pay for my college by umpiring. Summertime, I
really?
Played amateur ball, and I umpired one or the other every night for about 5 years. And so I umpired many years ago, but I umpired a lot. I'd umpire 50, 60 games a summer. And so I had all this equipment, and I thought, I put that in a box, and usually you can't find it. And I went out in the garage, and it was all right where I thought it was. I haven't worn it in 32 years, and I'm putting on the gear tonight, and I'm going to umpire.
Still fits? It still fits.
That's so great.
Snug as a bug. Are you kidding me, Paul? Huh? So I haven't done this, and I can't wait to do it. And I don't know if the kids would say the same thing that are out here. We've got 14-year-olds. It's a little more relaxed when it's fall ball than it is a summer tournament. So I thought this is a good way to break myself back in. And then I stopped.
That's so great.
And gave all the gear, and I bought a cup.
The most important thing. Yeah. Don't want you talking
great.
Like a soprano.
That's great,
exactly.
Mike. I wish we could see you. Take a selfie and send it to me, okay?
Well, I told the TV crew will come out here and put a wireless mic
okay.
on me. So think Naked Gun, remember that famous scene of Naked Gun when Leslie Nielsen was umpiring? Yeah.
Maybe
we
it's
might
a
see a
great
little of that
movie.
Yeah.
Be careful out there, Mike. Be careful.
Show off your skills, baby. Do a little dancing.
Yeah.
We want to see you
yeah,
flare
exactly,
it out, buddy. Okay?
Exactly. If you can't do it with flair, don't do it, Giordano, I said.
That's amen, brother.
Yeah. Mike. What's top of mind? We got Vikes, we got Twins, we got Lynx, a lot going on. What is top of mind for you this evening?
We'll buzz right through them. The Twins played a really good baseball game last night. Mitch Garver's home run was great for his confidence, and then Max Kepler, who had been struggling so much, has had a good 4 days, and the home run and the base hit in the 10th to win it was huge for his confidence as they continue to move through. Kenta Rogers has got to get a little bit better for him as a closer when you start talking about the playoffs. The Vikings today, a little bit concerning again because Mike Hughes and Dancer, the talented rookie cornerback, they hope were not practicing at least while our cameras were there. And so at a position where they're already beat up and they lost Anthony Barr, that becomes problematic that if they have issues at cornerback, it's pretty hard to bring guys in at that position this time of year and find anybody that's good that can step right in and play. So I do think they've got some real issues out there, and I'm not sure how they solve them. And then you mentioned the Lynx. They had a great game last night with Seattle. Alicia Clark, great heads up. She was where she was supposed to be. They didn't box out. She got the rebound, made the basket. This time ran out. Seattle got the first win of the series, but it was actually, in some respects, a step in the right direction for the Lynx because they'd been blown out by Seattle during the year, and they played them down to the wire. So I think they've got some life there.
Mikey?
Can we discuss for just 1 second Nelson Cruz's robe?
Oh, please.
His robes, man. Josh Donaldson came through with those, and this is where I get really frustrated as a reporter because we can't go down the locker room and just talk to these guys, you know? And so you can't just find, you know, you find out, you know, everybody's kind of surprised when they see it. They go, that's a great story. But we can't go out and do the story. But Nelson likes a robe, and Josh Donaldson thought it would be great to put these guys in robes. And when they hit a home run, they get to wear it, and there's King Nelson's. And all of a sudden, they're putting it on Garver last night. You go, what is this? But that's good. It's good to see that they're having some fun with some of this stuff.
Yes.
Because they've been quarantined and everything else. It's nice. They got to find different ways to release it.
Hey, Mikey.
Absolutely.
Listeners want a simulated strike call. How do you call strikes? Go.
Okay, first of all, you pivot to your right side because you got to sell it. You extend your right arm so that they see the right arm. Then you don't say strike. You say, As long as they hear the eye, they know it's a strike.
Sound like a pirate.
Going out, and they go, boy, it must have been a strike because did you hear the way you said that?
Wait, but what about, like, the dramatic strikeout call to end the fifth inning today? What's, like, the strike?
Then you jump a little bit into the air, and you go, strike! You hear the strike. And when you come back
video.
Down, if they're looking at you when you come back down, you point right to where it was. So they think you saw something that you maybe didn't see. Like, you point right to the corner of the plate, like, that's where it was, and you didn't see it. And they go, oh, my, I guess I didn't catch that.
That's cool.
I can't wait
Thank
for the
you,
news
Mike.
Tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Some headlines coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.